Oh, my goodness. A White Sox victory on a beautiful Sunday. It's Mother's Day, and we are firmly ensconced in the Allstate Showcase studio. For only a few more weeks, Cody, it's bittersweet. I will have to change our entire open. I've been saying that we've been firmly ensconced in this studio for years, and I will weep bitter tears the day they finally pry us out of here, our cold, dead hands still gripping the control board.
There's nothing sweet about it.
No. More bitter than sweet. It's bitter. It's horrifying. It's awful. But we're here now. We're going to enjoy it. If you're on Michigan Avenue, and it seems like everybody is, man, it's a beautiful, beautiful afternoon. 312-981-7200 is how you get a hold of us. When you call in, you'll be talking to the aforementioned Cody. Cody Goff, the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. If you're nice to him, you get to me. If you want to keep in touch with us via Facebook and Twitter, it's Brian Noonan Show. And the text line is the same as the phone number. I'm not going to repeat it because it bores me when I say numbers too many times. So that's that. Big show coming up. We are going to talk to our friends from Abelor Whiskey later on about a very exclusive hooch that is being sold in Chicago. We will get a little Mother's Day stuff. And in case you haven't given your mother a gift, I can tell you according to a new study, what the worst gift is. We'll do that. Talk about gas prices. We'll talk about Mr. Noonan's box of fun, which sounds dirtier than it actually is. And, there was another. Last week we had an incident where people were overreacting at a high school. We have another story of people overreacting at a high school. There's a lot to get to. But first, yesterday, now you're a podcaster, Cody, in your other life. You have Game Life Balance US and some other crazy video game podcasts. You love to podcast about video games almost as much as you like playing video games.
I podcast about lots of things.
Is that right?
Curiosity podcast.
Oh, well, that's your job. I don't care. That's you have to do that one. That's
sure.
You got the man with his boot on your neck making you do those podcasts. Yeah, you're all about the podcast. You know me. I'm not. I understand them. I don't poo-poo them, but, I'm not a huge follower of podcasts.
We've done them.
We did. The man put his boot on our neck and said no more of those. But I was part of a wonderful podcast yesterday. Our good friend Jimmy Pardo hosts the Never Not Funny podcast. And I had the opportunity to go to a live taping yesterday at Zany's in Rosemont. It was, I've been on the show before, Jimmy's show, when I was out in Los Angeles. And to do it in front of a live audience was really cool. So first, thanks to Jimmy Pardo and Matt Belknap. Jimmy and his co-host Matt run the whole thing, and everybody at Zany's. We had a good time. A lot of people came out to see Jimmy. Of course, it was a big crowd, like 250 people, a little more than that, to see the taping of the podcast, which was phenomenal. And a lot of those people also listened to this program, so it was a nice bonus. You know, I'm not saying all 250, maybe three, but there were a number of people who came up to me and said they listened to the show, which was fun, and it was nice being in front of a live audience. I got some laughs, Cody. You would have been proud of me. Worked, I did all right. I wasn't a stiff. I was a little nervous, I'll be honest, but just because it's a different when you're taping, it's like being in here. You don't know how the audience is reacting. Of course, I picture everybody listening rolling on the floor in hilarity, just engulfed in laughter, or pounding on their dashboards, screaming profanities at me. One extreme or the other. But when you're in front of a crowd, you hear it right away. You either hear crickets or you hear laughter and applause. Thankfully, there was a lot more laughter and applause than crickets.
I've heard some performers, I don't remember which famous ones, say that no matter how experienced you are, you still always get a little nervous before going on stage.
I think if you don't get a little bit, not stage fright nervous,
right,
but just a little like, you're amped up, you want to do well. I think if that goes away, you're not really good anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine even singers who've sung a song a million times, before they go out on stage, there's a tiny bit of, I'm trying to find the right word, because apprehension doesn't seem right. Nervousness is close, but there's different levels of nervousness.
Yeah.
So it's
a bit of a rush. I think you said it well.
Yeah. Yeah, you want things to go well. And I'm standing in back waiting, and they're doing their thing. And then they bring me up, and we just start talking. And, So it kind of is right up my alley, like we do here, except there I didn't know what – I didn't have a list of things that we were going to talk about. It was just like whatever Jimmy started to ask me. But because I had listened to what they had talked about before, I was able to call back a couple things, which the audience, all that. The audience liked that part.
Nice.
Yeah, sure. They liked that part a lot. So that was a lot of fun. We did all that yesterday and all these people. So I don't know when it's going to come out. It's going to be a bonus episode at podcast.com, so you can keep an eye on that and listen to all the frivolity that happened out at Zany's yesterday.
That is in the pantheon of podcasting.
He's one of the originators. I would say that he's been doing it what 12, 13 years.
I actually sincerely mean that. That's a big deal podcast. Yeah.
Especially when you see all the guests he's had.
Yeah.
And then there's my name thrown in there. Ha ha, what do you think of that? That's right. And here's the thing. I did it once, and that was great. But then to get asked back means I did well the first time.
Sure.
So.
That's the key.
I think that's always the key. It was the key when I was doing stand-up. Most people, you can get into most clubs one time. Can you get back? You know, it's like here, I got in to do one show, and now, you know, now look at me.
That's why I don't feel real great about when I hosted TEDx Naperville a few years ago. Didn't hear back after that. Nah, I didn't hear a word back. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I didn't do so hot.
Oh my goodness.
That's how it goes. You try your best.
Listen, you take your shot.
Say, I took the shot. Maybe I missed. Maybe I did great. They just wanted variety. Who knows? You don't think about it too much and move on.
Maybe your musky magnetism was too much for some of the staffers there, and they just couldn't be around you anymore.
Yeah.
Did you ever think of that?
The thing is that my sex appeal can distract significantly from the content surrounding it.
Sure, because people, it's like, anytime you're across from a very beautiful person, and I'm not saying you are, but I'm not saying you're not. I'm leaving it out there, just in general. Sometimes the beauty hypnotizes you. Mm-hmm. I was having this conversation with someone yesterday, as a matter of fact, because I was, not during the podcast, but I was regaling them with the tales of my game show wins. And I mentioned that on Russian Roulette, the host was Mark Wahlberg. Not Marky Mark Wahlberg, the other Mark Wahlberg, who had the most hypnotic blue eyes I had ever seen in my life. And every time I spoke to him, all I could see was these lipid pools of blue. And it pulled me out of my consciousness where I should have been focused on useless trivia. Instead, I was focused on these blue orbs that just glowed and seemed to draw me in and made me feel weirdly comforted.
Lipid pools of blue. You know, I'm reading Lord of the Rings right now,
yes.
And I literally feel like you just channeled J.R.R. Tolkien.
Well, I'm a wordsmithy.
Orbs of blue? I mean, that was...
Lipid pools of blue. I don't know it, but... And suddenly all my good works were dashed on the stones. Oh, sadness. I was right there. I was almost about to make a literary leap into another realm, another dimension of creativity, and then I had to cheapen it.
This whole show is in another realm. Let's be honest.
Speaking of Tolkien,
yeah.
Sure, we're in a whole other realm.
Well, I'm sorry I couldn't make it to your show last night. I was at my niece's graduation party.
What was she graduating from?
Rock Valley College.
Oh, how'd that go?
Yeah, very well.
Yeah, she's all graduated?
She's all graduated.
This is the season. Now, yesterday, my cousin's son, Brendan, graduated with a material engineering degree from University of Minnesota.
Wow.
The week before, my other cousin, her daughter, Kaylee, graduated with a teaching degree from Eastern Illinois University. So she's going to become a high school English teacher. God bless her. Godspeed. Good luck.
Oh, good luck.
Speaking of teaching, here's a sentence you never thought you'd hear me say. I got up at 7 o'clock today to grade papers and do my lesson plans.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. but that was... So, and then next Friday and Saturday, Molly graduates. And you may say, 2 days it takes her to graduate? Yes, we have 3 ceremonies we have to go to.
What?
Yes,
why?
Because, you know, when you're paying that kind of dough, everybody has to have their own little thing. So we have her business school graduation on Friday morning, where she'll actually walk, you know, she'll walk and they'll call her name and give her empty folder. Then the big unified ceremony is Saturday morning at the Superdome, where there'll be bands and fireworks and a speaker and all this other stuff, immediately followed by the liberal arts college graduation, where again she'll walk across the stage and they'll say her name and they'll give her an empty folder. So yeah, 3 ceremonies, plus we have to go to a reception on Thursday night, an event on campus Friday night. It's jam-packed.
Every time you say Superdome, I think of at WrestleMania 33 years ago, Hulk Hogan came out and accidentally called it the Silver Dome.
Oh.
He was like, right here in the Silver Dome. And, you know, 80,000 people start booing mercilessly.
Yeah, you can't get the name of the place wrong.
Yeah,
you cannot get the name of the place.
It was rough.
Well, I will not get it wrong. I'm going to say Superdome. So,
but if you do say Silverdome, just say you're channeling Hulk
that's
Hogan,
right.
Brother.
I'll just go, ooh, mm-hmm. Eat your vitamins, brother. Right? Eat your vitamins? Is that
yeah.
That's what he used to say?
Maybe.
Then I'll dye my hair blonde, whatever hair's left. Well, like him, I'll wear a big bandana over my head. That'll be horrifying. So that's, so what'd your cousin get her degree in?
I don't remember.
No? But she had a big party?
Yeah.
Was everybody there, the whole golf
everybody
family?
Everybody was there, yeah.
That's nice. Was a hoot nanny? What do you do?
There's quite a hoot and a lot of drinking, a lot of
really?
Eating. Yeah.
Eating and drinking. This is in Rockford?
This is in Rockford.
Ninth
then this
most
morning,
dangerous city?
It is the ninth most dangerous city. Then this morning, got up early and made a big old, I have a quiche recipe.
You do?
Which is actually my grandma's quiche recipe.
Wow.
But I make a quiche recipe, and I made a nice little quiche for the family.
For mom?
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice Mother's Day. Did she enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
And what about Mrs. Goff? Did she enjoy it? Your Mrs. Goff.
She's not a mother.
I know.
She enjoyed it.
Did you not let her eat then?
Well,
only mom can eat. You look and watch. You realize that your husband made a quiche for his mother and nothing for his wife.
No one told me I was supposed to let her eat too.
So you have to let the wife eat.
Am I in trouble?
Even though she is not yet a mother, you should let her eat.
Uh-oh.
Always here. Listen, I've been married a long time. If I could give you one piece of advice, always let your wife eat if she's hungry.
Mm.
Don't say no. This is just for my mom. Because that sets you up as like this weird mama's boy who has chosen his mother over his wife. And trust me, that's going to come back to haunt you somewhere down the road. It may not be for years. And then you'll be in some sort of very minor disagreement that you think is nothing. Oh, we're out of ranch dressing. Remember that time you made that quiche for your mother and you wouldn't let me eat? That's why we don't have any ranch dressing in the house. You're a horrible husband. I hate you. See, it's going to go just like that. It's the jump off is going to be, you're never going to see it coming.
Wow.
Never.
Never would have guessed.
Nope. Well, listen, that's why I'm here, to help out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything I can do to help out is what I do to help
out.
Hey,
I'm still married. You're one for one on the marriage officiating.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, that was in October, and this is now May, so that's 7 months.
7 months?
You would think that in 7 months, people would have seen the wonderful success that your marriage has had, thanks to my blessing, and maybe, you know.
No one has solicited you?
Nobody has solicited me.
Really?
Even after I'm dropping, bon mons like limpid pools of blue.
Bon what?
Bon mons.
What is that?
Look it up. It's French.
Wow.
It looks like bon mots.
I'll look it up during the break.
Look it up during the break.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I love to drop some French on you. All right, somebody go, anticipation. Peter in Sauk Village, going back to what we were saying about trying to find the right word for how you feel before you go on stage. Anticipation is probably right, mixed with sheer terror.
Yeah, but there's like a physical, I don't know, something.
It's the butterflies. It's the whole, you know, you get a buzz going.
Yeah.
A little buzz happening. All right, what do we got to do? We got to do this, right? And then we got to do the news. And then we got to, you know, other stuff to do.
Make something up.
Yeah, we got a lot to do, and I don't know what it is.
I still haven't finished the whiteboard, so I have no idea what we're talking
about.
Well,
listen, again, congratulations to the White Sox. Big win over the Cubs. They needed a win today, so that was nice. But 5-3, White Sox. Yay, White Sox. Because I had to at school, I'm outnumbered. Like, there's like three Sox fans and everybody else a Cubs fan. And so I had to listen to all kind of trash talk all last Friday, and then it paid off because the Cubs destroyed the White Sox Friday and Saturday. Well, Friday they destroyed them, Saturday they beat them, and today they lost. So at least I have won. I can go into school tomorrow with a little bit of, tiny bit of pride, which will be good. But, so we didn't know when we were starting. So Cody arrived at his usual lackadaisical time and no time to get the whiteboard done. But it's coming. If you're clamoring for the whiteboard, it's coming. Just a minute. Hold on. We haven't even really officially started yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the
what?
Car, so come on, let's ride.
I said, I said to Cody, hey, we got some Mother's Day music? Oh, yeah, I got something.
It's Mambo number 5.
Oh, wow.
Get it? Pam gets it.
Pam gets it.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, then I will defer to Pam's judgment. Good for you. All right, Cody. I get it. Mambo number 5.
I'll defer to my judgment.
Everything
I got
good?
A mom, but I ain't got no kids.
So. You got Mambo. So are you? Is that the, what we could expect? Some sort of play on mom for the bump music on?
I'll do some actual stuff.
No, that's okay.
Listen. I had to come out the gate strong with a very Cody bump.
Yes,
I got something that's a play on mom, kind of.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you heard of this restaurant here called Mother Cluckers?
No.
And I did say Cluckers.
I'm guessing it's a chicken restaurant, but where is it?
Yeah, it's awesome. I saw one in Palatine. The thing is, my parents are from the South, and when I was down there on the Gulf Coast, I, you know, saw this restaurant, and they think it's great. So I, you know, take pictures by the sign or whatever. And then I got up here, and I'm driving through Palatine, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I had to stop the car, of course, get out, take pictures. Had no idea this was a chain. And there's one closer to the downtown area as well.
And it's the same. It's the same as the one down south?
Apparently it is. I've never actually been inside the one down south. All my parents love it. I've never been there. But this one, I actually went inside and I thought maybe I'd order something. But the line was so long, I couldn't even order. But it smelled good. I am going.
So Pam Jones endorsing Mother Cluckers. Very nice. I apologize, Pam. I don't know what happened. I went to throw to the news and you ever had one of those where your brain just completely shuts off and I didn't...
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know where I was going.
I'm really glad because I was not ready to punch up that show. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, sorry about that.
No, it's cool.
So Mother Cluckers, we're going to go get chicken to make up for this. It'll be fun. We'll bring Cody along. He'll make some bad Mother's Day puns, and then we'll all move on with our lives.
Sounds good.
So as Pam mentioned, we do have a severe thunderstorm warning for Kankakee, Illinois. It began at 5:01, and it will end at 5:46. So if you are in Kankakee, be careful. You've got severe thunderstorms rolling through for the next half hour or so. We'll keep you updated if anything else changes. It's rare that we have an indicator here in the studio that beeps, and we don't hear it a lot because severe weather, thankfully, doesn't come through too often. And it was beeping, and Cody and I were looking at each other like, hey, what's going on? Look, we have a severe thunderstorm warning. So again, a severe thunderstorm warning for Kankakee beginning at 5:01, and it will expire at 5:46 p.m. So we will keep you posted.
Did you want me to play the Storm Central music?
Oh, the Storm Central? Yeah, do we have it?
I've always got it.
An update from Storm Central. So Storm Center? Storm
Central. I don't remember.
Storm Central. Yeah, it's very, people get very upset when we make fun of weather. So we're not making fun of weather. We are making fun of the urgency of weather.
I don't even remember what the joke was.
It's that I could never, I didn't know whether it was Storm Center or Storm Central. So it was Storm Central.
But which one did I insist that it was?
I don't remember. Doesn't matter.
Oh, man.
Doesn't matter. All we know is there's a severe thunderstorm warning for Kankakee, and it ends at 5:46, which is a while from now, 36 minutes from now. Look at that math. That's pretty good math. Pretty good. Happy Mother's Day. We're not going to... People say, are you going to do a whole big Mother's Day show? And not really, because it's a hard day for a lot of people. And I'm not saying we shouldn't celebrate moms. Here's the modern-day version of my contact with my mom today. Because I couldn't... she and two of my brothers were going out to lunch, but because I had to be here, I couldn't go out to lunch. And I'm going to see my mom for 4 days at the end of the week in New Orleans, and I had sent her some flowers. So I called today, and she didn't answer the phone, so I left her a message. And then I texted her. I said, hey, I left you a message, just so she wouldn't think that all I was doing was texting. Because if that's the way you communicate with your mom, that's cool. But I didn't want her to... I knew she would badmouth me somehow if I had only texted her a happy Mother's Day wish. So I texted her the fact that I had left her a message on her phone at home, and then I repeated my Mother's Day greeting that way. So, you know, that was my big contribution to my mom for Mother's Day. Then I had a little something for my wife, and we were going to go. I said to her, well, last year you wanted me to go get the donuts. And I got up real early and went to the baker. I said, you want donuts again? She's like, no, I don't want donuts. I just want to go. There's a bar near the house that on Sunday makes a wonderful Bloody Mary. And she said, I would just like to have a Bloody Mary at lunchtime. Sounds good to me. I'm always up for a few pops before I come in and do a show. You know that, Cody. I like to come in all zoomed up. But we get to the bar, the big corner tavern in I think it's in North Riverside, something like that, Forest Park. It's one of those bars that has an apartment up top. Well, the apartment had a fire, apparently, and so the bar is shut down. So she was very discouraged. But we went to a place, and they gave all the moms a free piece of ice cream cake. So that was very nice. She got that, and Molly called her before we had left, so that was very nice, and actually said, I'm so excited to see you this week. So Debbie really had a good Mother's Day. Molly said she wanted to see her, and you made your mom quiche, so that's good.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's better than some years, where after the show you were still trying to figure out if you should call her or not. Not figure out if you should, but going, oh yeah, I still have to call.
Look, that's only happened 4 or 7 times.
4 or 7 times? That's not many. Yeah. In your 48 years of life?
What? Is that how old I am?
I don't know. Is that how old you are?
How did that happen? That escalated quickly.
It did, sure. Everything. Time flies, Cody.
I guess.
Says the guy who is, looking down the barrel of his daughter graduating from college.
Yeah.
But it is, We will admit that it is a hard day for a lot of people, for whatever reasons. Whether you've lost your mom, or you have a strained relationship with your mom, or you've always wanted to be a mom, or you're not a mom, and you're tired of people asking you why you're not a mom. It's a whole big thing. It's a whole crazy day. But we still have to, we still got to pay a little attention to it because it's a big deal. And again, if you don't, man, you're in trouble. That's what I do. And married guys, this is the thing. Like, a married guy with a grown child, such as myself, you go, well, my wife isn't technically my mom. She's the mother of my child. So I do, you don't get caught in that trap. You still have to cough up a little something. So I gave her an experience because my wife told me she doesn't want any more stuff. So not like that kind of experience, Cody. That never happens. But no, she wanted to do something. So I gave her tickets to something. Yeah. That way, because now we'll go and do something rather than just another trinket or something for the yard or something that'll get stashed away.
It's so millennial of you.
Listen, I'm all about being a millennial. I gotta be young and hip. That's what the kid, that's what sells these days. Young and hip. That's why I'm dressed like, an extra from a House of Pain video. That's why I've got, I've been vaping. All that. I'm vaping. I'm investing in cyber currency. I'm doing all that kind of stuff.
Cryptocurrency.
See, I'm not even. I'm doing both.
Yeah.
Cyber and cryptocurrency.
That is advanced.
I bought a couple of knit hats and growing out a beard.
You play hacky sack?
What am I? A hippie?
Yeah, that's different.
Hacky sack was a long time ago.
Yeah.
No, what are the kids? I'm playing Fortnite.
Snapchatting?
Oh, sure. I'm Snapchatting. I'm Fortniting.
You're the second person to mention Fortnite to me, and I've never even played it.
I don't know anything about it, but I know it's on the front page of the Tribune today.
What?
That people are playing Fortnite, and local gamers are trying to get into it, and I see people posting, oh, I love that my kids are playing Fortnite, because they're singing and dancing. I'm like, what?
What?
What kind of, I don't know. I'm telling you, it's taking the world by storm. It's going to be another one of those Pokemon Go things.
Mm.
No, so everybody, you don't play Fortnite?
I don't
what
know.
What is it?
You anything, don't know anything about it.
Well,
wow.
You better get out. Don't you have a podcast about this kind of thing?
My video game podcast, we're reviewing Super Nintendo classic games that are 20 years old.
Oh, that's old.
It's retro stuff.
Sure. Well, you got to get, listen, you're younger than me. You should be on the cutting edge of this. I shouldn't be dropping knowledge about Fortnite that you can't relate to.
Brian, I'm trying to capitalize on nostalgia. We all know nostalgia sells.
It does it?
Aren't they making another, Bill and Ted movie?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
That was old when it was Bill and Ted's second adventure.
Yeah.
It was done after the first. It was actually done during the first one. But you could argue that maybe if you liked the first one, okay. But the second one was awful. And now to bring up Bill and Ted, what is their next adventure? In the retirement home? Bill and Ted go to the villages in Florida and try to hook up with a granny. Wait, that's basically what it is. These guys are in their late 40s, early 50s. Keanu Reeves is like 78.
And there's no George Carlin anymore?
No, there can't be.
So
he's dead? Who are they going to put in that part?
Not Louis C.K.
Not anymore.
He's blackballed by everybody. He's
sure.
He's who I would have thought of.
Yeah, no, he can't do it. Ricky Gervais, maybe.
I don't.
I know you don't like Ricky Gervais, but I'm just saying, if you're looking for that kind of snark.
He's fine. He's a bit too dark sometimes.
Well, listen, maybe that's what you need. Maybe you'd take Bill and Ted in a different avenue.
Well,
a different path.
Bill and Ted face death. I mean, didn't that what they did in the second one?
It's yeah, Bill and Ted had to cheat death.
I don't know.
What bar has great Bloody Marys? The BCT, the Big Corner Tavern. It's at the corner of First Avenue and Cermak. But you can't go there now because the apartment above it burned down. And so So the bar is, it's still standing. All right, let me ask you this, Cody.
Ask me this.
So I pull into the parking lot of the BCT today, and I notice there's not too many cars, but there's a couple cars, and there's a big white van, like a serial killer van or a construction van. You take your pick.
Windowless?
Oh, definitely windowless. 100% windowless, beaten up, rust, you know, in strategic spots. And we walk now past the serial killer van and past four guys who are sitting at a picnic table talking. And we passed within 2 feet of them. And I'm not exaggerating for comedic purposes. We were that close to them. You would think one of them would have said, hey, the bar's closed. Not one of them said a word. We walked in, we opened the door, we see that the whole place is boarded up and covered in plastic and there's visqueen everywhere. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I walk out. They didn't say anything to us as we walked out. They completely ignored us, kept talking to amongst themselves, and they were the guys doing the work on the bar, but you would think they would have said, oh yeah, we're closed.
How many apartments are above the bar?
One or two.
Maybe they thought you lived in one of those.
No, because we went into the bar door. We went to the
Yeah, but as you're walking by, they wouldn't have known that.
Nah, they... Well, again, the door was about 4 feet from the picnic table.
Mm.
So it wasn't like we left their site and they went, oh, they must have gone up to loot. No, we just... We walked, we looked in, we're like, oh, this is weird. Mm. Then we walked back out. All right, if you didn't get something for your mom and you're still looking, I have a list of, well, I have the absolute worst. So I want to hear from moms, 312-981-7200. Your kids mean well. All kids mean well. You can be anonymous. But sometimes they just choke. And you know it's true. You love your children, I understand. It's the thought that counts. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Sometimes your kids have given you something and you're just like, I can't believe I carried you for 9 months inside me because you must not know anything about me. 312-981-7200. I'll tell you, a survey has revealed the worst Mother's Day gift. We'll get to that after this. It's WGN. Did you give your mom anything other than the quiche?
A thoughtful card.
Oh, that's beautiful. I had the second graders, so we had to make... We had to make those grade school gifts for mom. We didn't do anything really crafty. I had a thing where they had to write a poem about their mom, which was just filling things in, which was kind of nice. And then I had them paste it on a beautiful piece of like crafty paper and put a little, their little picture on there and then laminated it. And I said to them, oh, your moms can keep this forever and ever, which is setting up some sort of therapy session down the road where the kid, you know, in 10 years goes, hey, mom, where's that thing I made you in second grade that you said you'd keep forever? Oh, you mean the thing I threw out in June of 2018? So we did that, and then they had to fill out, we had them fill out another page where they go, they guess how old they're, you know, my mom is X number of years old. She likes to do this. She's good at this kind of thing. Some of the kids, one, they thought their moms were either really, really young, like 23, which some of them may be, or really old, like 75, which none of them are. They also, one kid said his mom was good at nothing. I said, you have to change this. I said, I can't laminate this where it said your mom is good at nothing. You have to come up with something. I go, how do you think your mom will feel if you give her this on Mother's Day and it says my mom is good at and you write nothing? I said, you gotta, is she a good cook? Is she funny? Does she make you smile? Is she good at reading you story? Give me something. I guess she's a good cook. Okay, fine, put that. Even if it's not true, I don't care at this point. I don't know your mom. Put that down. A lot of moms just want to watch TV. That was my mom's favorite thing to do is watch TV. What does my mom need? Most of them said a little bit of quiet. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Yes, your mom does need some quiet away from you. You're a nut. According to a new Ebates survey. Ebates, they're big known for their surveys, aren't they? They interviewed 1,000 people. The gift mothers want the least. You want to wager a guess, Cody?
Flowers.
No.
That can't be right.
No, that can't be right. I will say 94% of the moms surveyed said they do not want this gift. So it's an overwhelming majority.
A gift card.
No.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Moms don't mind that. Boy, you're 0 for 2. Why don't you strike all the way out? Take another guess.
You all right? What they don't want?
The gift, the worst Mother's Day gift you can buy.
You can.
You said flowers? That's not it. You said gift card? That's not it. You have one more guess.
Is it... Is it something marketed specifically as a Mother's Day gift?
No.
Oh, God, I don't know. Pizza.
No. Oh, man. My mom would like a pizza.
Who doesn't like a pizza?
Debbie would like a pizza. I don't know. Obviously, the mom in your theoretical universe.
Wait, vacuum cleaner.
No, good guess.
Thanks.
Gym membership.
Oh.
A gym membership. If you give your mom a gym membership, you better be moving to another country.
Brutal.
She doesn't want it. Yeah.
I was going to say a tummy trainer, one of those tummy things.
Right along the same. That's along the same. The same thoughts. Yes, thanks. Here, mom. I was noticing you got a little. You know, a little roll.
A little wiggle in your jiggle.
Yeah. Why don't you just cinch that up a little bit? First of all, who's looking at their mom that way? That's uncomfortable. And secondly, who would give that? Yes, mothers have no interest in getting a gym membership from their children. Now, see, this makes me think moms are better. Well, we all know moms are better than dads. The gifts moms want most, time with their family. I would imagine there's some moms today who would just want to be, you know, a couple hours by themselves.
I have a relative that I saw at my niece's graduation party last night. She literally said, I'm celebrating Mother's Day by going out and gardening and having peace and quiet, and I want to be left alone.
Yes. So all this, oh, we just want to spend quality time with our families. Sure, who doesn't? That's an easy line to give. But I'm betting there's a good number of moms who, given their druthers, would say, you know, could I just have like 2 hours to take a nap? Or 2 hours where I don't have to answer a question. Or I don't have to wipe a kid's snotty nose. I love my children, but I would just like to have a couple hours just for me. Can I take a bath? You know? Can I have a glass of wine in peace? Can my husband leave me alone? So, I don't know. They want the quality time. They do say flowers, chocolate, and a trip to the spa and brunch are also popular gift choices among the moms that were surveyed. Also said, now, 60% of the people, according to this survey, another survey, Rakuten, said that 60% of people are going to spend between $51 and $250 on Mother's Day. That seems like a lot. But I'm always, you know, it's 200, the top end seems a lot. 51 seems, it's okay. You know, you got a couple kids, whatever. But $250. Listen, I'm a cheapskate. We all know that. All right, on the other side of the news, we're going to talk about Mr. Noonan's Box of Fun and so much more. Yes, I know that sounds really creepy, does it, Cody? Mr. Noonan's Box of Fun. We'll do that after the news, which is after this on WGN. Ooh, look at her. She's a bad man. Yes, she is. Just as bad as she can be. Is that our new tagline, Pam? This stuff that matters? This is the stuff that matters?
I'm just going to say, and I'm a bad mamma jamma on Chicago's very own.
I like that. See, now there I'm going to go, wow. That is a woman who is in control of her own newscast.
Right before I get fired.
Right. And everything. I should have listened closer. I would lead with, this is Pam Jones, I'm a bad mamma jamma. Because now, everything you say after that, I'm going to be like, oh my God, I can't miss a word.
That's right. And who cares what I say, just so long as you stay with me.
Well, really? Well, listen, who's not going to listen to a bad mamma jamma?
That's right.
She's as proud
That's
as
right.
she can be.
Maybe I should get that on my license plate next time.
Bad mamma jamma?
Yeah. B-D-M-M-A. Oh, that's going to be too many letters.
It's a lot of
J-M-A.
Letters.
Yeah. M-M-A-J-M-A is 5, right? So, yeah, I got to figure this out.
Yeah, we'll noodle on it. But
I could just put mamma jamma. People would know exactly what that means.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody knows about mamma jamma. We have another severe thunderstorm warning. This is for Kankakee, beginning at 5:35 and ending at 6:35. So a new one has just begun. The old one has expired, and the new one has begun. So this is, as Pam said, seek shelter. Be careful. We'll keep you updated because we have the stuff that matters. When did that become our new phrase, our new catchphrase?
Last week.
I should pay more attention.
Yes, emails, yes.
Well, they don't send us emails, Pam.
They would never have to say that. It's supposed to go only at the end of the bottom of the hour. Emails. Yeah.
I know, but, you know, I hear it and it's jarring. I like it, but I hadn't heard it before,
You're like,
so it's new.
Did she just make that up?
No,
I know people that think, because I was the first one to have to say it. I worked somebody else's shift last week, and I was just like, really? I get to be the first one?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So everybody's good. Did you hear what the newswoman said?
Whoa, wait. I'm like, okay, but this came from management. I did not make this up.
No, the stuff that matters.
Yeah.
Right. Well, no, it is, because it is, and so it makes sense. Well, there you go. Very good. And good luck with that license plate. You listen, I'm sure you have some sort of connections at the with Jesse White at the Secretary of State. You're a respected journalist. You can't call Jesse and go, listen, I need an extremely long license plate. One that looks like it came from the UK, where it's like 52 letters across the entire back bumper.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
No, because then everybody's going to be hitting you from behind because they're trying to read your license plate instead of paying attention to your brake lights. They're reading this diatribe that
it's
you have written across.
It's just going to say Mama Jamma. MMA, JMA, that's all six. Right. So
either that or they're going to think you're an ultimate fighter.
If I can
and
do
then somebody's going to try to put you in a chokehold.
BD, MMA, JMA, bad Mama Jamma. Oh, that'd be hot. I want it.
All right, good luck. It's good to have dreams. And then
goals
and dreams, and then the world will just crush them. 312-981-7200. Have you tried to bribe your children into good behavior? This is something I'm trying now. I instituted a new policy in second grade, Cody, where because it's the end of the year. And I don't know if you remember this. I certainly don't because I haven't been in school for a long time. But once May comes and the weather starts getting warmer, kids get squirrely because they want to be done with school, right? They're done. They've had enough, especially when you're seven. You've been in school since August. It's time to be finished. So I'm finding my class is getting a little unruly. And I've been informed by the other teachers, the regular teachers, that this is not unique to my class, that everybody's getting a little nuts. Well, I can't. My patience is not what it used to be. I'm a cranky old man. And I can't deal with 27-year-olds going ballistic on me. So I decided I came up with a plan. I asked some of the other teachers. I had a couple ideas, and I ran it by them. So here's what I'm doing. I told the kids that I have a list now of mystery students, a mystery student every day. And I'm going to watch that student all day. And if they behave well, and I said you don't have to be perfect, but if you work hard and you follow the rules, and even if I have to correct you a couple times and then you change your behavior, that's cool. Then you'll get a prize at the end of the day. And I will call you up in front of the class and we will all cheer for you. And if you don't make it, I'm not going to say anything. There just won't be a mystery student that day. I'm not going to embarrass somebody. But so I was like, okay, but now what am I going to do? What am I going to give? So I ordered this like a cardboard treasure chest filled with 100 little school supply kind of things. There's notebooks and super balls and rulers and pencils. And so today, after I did my lesson plans and and graded my papers, I put together Mr. Noonan's box of fun, which I started singing around the house, and it sounded way too creepy. So Debbie's like, you can't call it Mr. Noonan's box of fun. He's like, come here, kids. I've got this on my lap. Pick something out of Mr. Noonan's box of fun. Pam will be reporting on me next week. It'll just be horrifying. So I'm trying to, I deliberately, because I started it on Tuesday, and I front-loaded the list. I did actually write down all the kids, because after the first day, one of the kids goes, did you just make that up and pick the kid right now? I said, no, I have them written down, and I do. I have all the way till the end of the year. Every day there's a different mystery student. A couple days there's two because we had too many, too many kids. And I front-loaded it because I wanted the first few days, I wanted the kids to win so they'd be all jacked up. Now, of course, they couldn't get their prize because I didn't have them yet. But they, I said, all right, the first kid won, so she's getting she gets to pick first. And there's a couple of – now, Friday, I had two mystery students. One didn't win. One, I was only able to give it to one because the other kid was screwing off all day. She kept talking. She kept putting her hands on other people. I can't have that. So tomorrow I got to tell her that she was the one who didn't win. Now I'll put her on another day. But I don't know if this bribery thing is going to work. I think it'll work a little bit because they're seven. Seven-year-olds like trinkets. And once now, see, I think it's gonna really kick in tomorrow when I bring in Mr. Noonan's box of fun. Because once you can reach into that box and pull out a special treat to take home, you're gonna go, oh man, now it's concrete. Now it's real. It's not just because this week it was theoretical. It's all just we don't know. We don't know exactly what's gonna happen. But now, man, now you get a little star-shaped notebook or a super ball something like that. Man, a big foam dice. Not for not like that hang from your rearview mirror, but there's, you know, I don't know. It's all this cheap stuff the kids like, you know. All the stuff that they'd pump $4 into a machine at the mall for to get, try to win.
Get them a pressed penny.
Yeah, so it's that kind of stuff.
Go to Navy Pier, get them a little penny pressed into a Ferris wheel.
I got this, I got a hundred, I got the Mr. Noonan's box of fun and 100 things that go in it for $20.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's the high quality stuff that they, you know. But I'm praying it works, because I can't, I don't know what to do. But I, like, I don't remember, my parents never bribed us to work hard in school. It was, we never were the, hey, if you get an A, you get a $10. We were never that kind of crew. It was always, you know, that was just your job. You know, as a kid, that's your job. You go to school and you do your work. There was, it's a very puritanical, old-fashioned mentality. That, so I'm worried that I'm cheating a little bit, but I think sometimes a little incentive is good, you know, especially if it keeps the whole class running smoothly, you know, your mic's not on, right?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I had nothing.
Why is there so much static when you turn your mic on?
Oh, I don't know.
There's a whole lot of background fuzz.
Like right now?
Yeah, right now.
I don't hear it.
Well, all right.
I think I sound great.
It's not your voice that it. There's just a lot of hum in the background.
Weird. I had a quick correction from a listener, by the way.
About what?
The Cubs are playing the Braves tomorrow. It's a makeup game. So we said during the news Tuesday, I guess.
Oh, we did?
So, yeah.
All right.
So,
well,
thanks for catching that.
Yeah, always good to, always good. Here's another thing that I don't understand about kids in school is the water bottle. I went through, I actually said this to the second grade class the other day. Because all these kids, they walk around like gerbils, holding the water on. They need water all the time. Oh, they need water. Mr. Noonan, I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty. Can I get my water bottle? No, you don't need a water bottle. You're not doing anything to break it. I had a kid the other day say to me, but we've been writing. I said, yes, you've been writing in an air-conditioned room. You are not breaking rocks. I said, I want you to listen to me, kids. I went through 8 years of grade school, 4 years of high school, and 4 years of college. And you know how many times I had a water bottle at my desk? And they're like, a lot? I went, none. Never. What? I said, and we didn't have tablets. We actually had to carry books, and we had to write with pencil. They're doing everything on iPads.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's no books. Are you high? There's no books in my classroom.
I'm upset about this development. However, it is very healthy to drink water throughout the day, and they are developing a good habit.
No,
I think
not.
They should be encouraged.
They're using it as a distraction.
They should be encouraged.
No, they shouldn't. They're walking. They walk to their cubbies. They need water because they've walked 8 feet to their cubbies. They're going down to the, to, you know. All right, take your water bottle when you're going to PE.
So here's what you do. Buy, how many, do they have the groups of desks, the clusters?
No, we sit at, this is the, this is what people keep saying to me. Hey, this, it sounds like you're really into this teaching thing. Are you gonna, is this a calling? And I say no, because we also have this what are they called? Different kind of seating. So they sit on these green rubber balls, or they sit wherever they want.
The bouncy, what are they called? The yoga balls.
Yeah.
But these have little
feet on them, four little feet, but they don't sit on the feet. It's horrible because the kids are bouncing around, and then the balls get a little deflated, and so they swerve, and it just makes like all over the sound off the floor nonstop. Where I had to, we were taking a test the other day, and I had to go up to one of the kids. I said, "You got to stop." I said, "No, you got to sit down over here on the carpet and take your test because I can't have any more of this ball sound." It was driving me nuts.
All right, well, so how many tables are in the room?
There are 5 tables in the room.
All right, get 10 giant jugs of water.
Like the big yellow Gatorade ones that get dumped on a coach at the end of a ball game?
No, I was thinking just like an Ice Mountain gallon of
water. All right, like a gallon of water.
And just fill it up, and then if they need more water, there's your giant jug. They're strong enough to lift a gallon of water, right?
No!
Really?
These kids barely make it. Listen, if they're so tired that they get winded and dehydrated writing 3 sentences.
They're not actually. You're saying that they're just saying that as an excuse to be able to get up and get water. But if you've got the water right there, then, you know.
So I should make like hookah pipes of water and just let them, you just give everybody a big straw and they can just sit there completely like a feeding tube and they can have a you know, a straw in their mouth nonstop.
You're supposed to drink a lot of water every day. I don't know. Maybe you do.
No, because then they want to go to the bathroom.
Well, that's life, Brian.
Cody, you forget what it's like to be a second grader when your entire goal in life is to try to put one over on your teacher.
Skedaddle. I've been working on this show for a long time. I know what it's like to be a second grader.
That's true. So that's what's going on. So this week, hey, Roger, did you ever bribe your kids in class to do what they're supposed to do?
Once in a blue moon. Late, as I got into my later years, I just kind of gave up.
What's going on
Yeah,
there?
What's going on? Oh, you know why? Because I got to turn Roger down.
Oh, is it?
No, you were fine. It's fine now.
Okay.
Go ahead. You were way too loud, but that's because Pam was low, so I had to crank her up.
Oh, I got you.
You're fine now.
In my later years, I did bring candy in, and but I used it in an evil way.
Yeah? How do you make candy evil?
Well, you walk up to a person that everybody in the class knows they don't deserve the candy.
Right.
And you just, like, put it on the desk, and then you look at everybody else in class with the evil eye.
Wow.
Which I nurtured over 20 years.
Wow.
And then they get all mad at you, and they try to, like, not do the work. So, well, fine, if they don't do any work and they get candy, then we won't do any work. I go, go ahead, try.
Wow, that seems, I don't get how that logic works.
It worked.
Okay.
It did.
Well,
for me.
Yeah, well, we're going to see if Mr. Noonan's box of fun works.
Yeah.
If not, Cody, at the end of the year, guess what? I'll bring Mr. Noonan's box of fun in here. We'll start giving out trinkets to people. You know, maybe you're walking down Michigan Avenue. I guess we'll be here for long enough I could give out a trinket. Or else I'm just going to be hurling it out the 32nd floor window. I don't even know what floor we're on.
17. It's still far enough where it can pick up speed.
All right.
Yeah, people.
Whip a super ball out at somebody from the 17th floor window. But then again, we have to be let into that building. So we will see. All right. Boy, oh boy. I'm wondering if this is going to affect your summer vacation, because bad news at the pumps. We'll get into that after this. WGN.
Mother, there is no other like mother, so treat her right. Mother, I'll always love her.
Is that MC Hammer? No, is it, who's it, Coolio?
Mr. T.
It's Mr. T?
Yeah.
Hold on. I like that he's very straightforward with his message. How are we supposed to treat our mothers? Right. It's my mother. I don't picture Mr. T having a mother. I know he does. He wasn't some weird immaculate conception. He didn't just appear fully formed as Mr. T one day. But it seems hard. You know, you don't picture a guy like Mr. T going home to his mom.
Actually, he had two brothers. Oh. Seriously. One was a Chicago police officer. One was a Chicago fire officer.
All right. So how does that, does that make it easier for me to picture
it
him?
It was a family.
I didn't say he wasn't from a family, Roger. I just, Mr. T doesn't seem like, like a mama's boy. Like you don't picture him with a mom, but everybody has a mom somewhere.
He had a sweetheart.
Wow. When did you become Mr. T's apologist?
I'm not an apologist.
I think you are. I think you're you know him?
I spent a whole day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How do you spend a whole day with Mr. T?
When I was working.
Cutting this rap album?
Yeah.
Did you produce this?
The backup vocals. You didn't hear that?
You didn't hear me in the back?
Mother!
He was the percussionist.
I did not know that.
Your mother.
Wow. All right, Vanilla Ice.
That got a laugh out of
him?
Pam. That was Pam in the back. I got a laugh out of her.
So wait, how do you spend a day with Mr. T cutting an album?
Not cutting an album.
Spoken
actually
word?
Doing
what
a public service announcement.
Really? For
on
what?
Fire safety.
Listen, children, if you have too many gold chains around your neck, you will never be able to escape a fire.
No.
No, that wasn't it?
No. There's a new team in town. Remember A-Team? Get it? New team in town. It's the fire safety team, and you can help.
Wow.
Yep. Those were the first three lines I wrote for him.
And how could you help? How could Mr. T help with fires? So, well, he cut down all the trees on his property. That probably helps prevent fires.
He did.
If there's no forest, you can't have a forest fire. So that's good news.
Well, they didn't call him Mr. Tree.
Oh.
Wow. Holy cow.
Where'd
I have to put my head down. So yeah, he was a nice guy, and he told you all about his family,
nice
and now
guy.
Years later, you feel that you want to jump in and defend him. When I really didn't say anything wrong about Mr. T.
I'm just providing additional information.
I understand. More background information.
Yeah.
Are you sure you weren't on the rap album?
Well, I may have been. I don't know.
Where did that come? Was there a collection of those songs, Cody?
I just Googled, or I didn't Google. I was on YouTube and I searched for something Mother. I saw it as a related
video. And then Mr. T jumps up.
It's hard to remember where you find stuff.
I understand, but that's something you mark. That's something you keep. That's in the files.
All right, I'll bookmark it.
In case wherever. Yeah, bookmark it. That's what the kids do. They bookmark things.
Yeah.
When they're not drinking water and trying to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
This is bad news. Gas prices climbing higher and higher for the summer. I don't know if that's going to affect your travel plans. It is, if you haven't seen it already, the prices are going up. 2014 gas prices were up at least, were last $3 a gallon. The average family paid about $1,600 for the summer season. Now, the average family is expected to pay $200 more for gas over the summer. Because it's not just the potential hiccups at domestic refineries, even summer hurricanes that analysts say could threaten to send U.S. prices even higher. It's the fact that for the first time in a while, geopolitics have been driving oil prices higher. Thank goodness for geopolitics making our lives better. Oil prices are at a four-year high. Gasoline prices are climbing too, as you've seen if you've gone to the pumps lately. This is where you are the only time you were lucky to not have a car. When things like this are happening. Analysts are watching developments in Iran and the Middle East and the decline of Venezuela's oil production. So the average family this summer could pay about $1,318 for gasoline from May through September, compared with $1,070 in the same period last year. That's according to the head of global energy analysis at Oil Price Information Services. We should see a national average peak about $3 to $3.10 a gallon, they say. Yeah, I'm feeling America being great. No, that'll get things going. Gasoline prices have been rising steadily. National average up about 5 cents per gallon in the last week. 20 cents in the last month. Last year at this time, the average was $2.33 a gallon, according to AAA. It's sad when I long for just a year ago. That's when I reminisce. Remember last May when gas was only $2.33? I do. All right, on the other side of the news, I think we're talking about whiskey. That's what I hear. Oh, they are here. Good. Abalor Whiskey is here. We will talk about a very exclusive brand to Chicago. We'll do that on the other side of the news, which comes after this on WGN. Quickly, I just want to remind everybody about the big trip that we're going on in October to England to enjoy England's treasures. You can come with me. Debbie and I are going as part of Steve Bertrand's travel group. We are leading a tour that departs on October 11th and returns October 20th. It's going to be a great tour. 10 days. We are going to stay at nothing but four-star accommodations. That is unbelievable. We're staying in London, Oxford, Salisbury, Stratford-upon-Avon, London. The church where the royals are getting married next week, we will visit that. We'll visit Stonehenge. We're going to the Cotswolds. We're going to the Roman Baths, Shakespeare's birthplace. We're going to be all over the country. We have a guide that will go with us and give us all the pertinent information, and it will just be a wonderful time. We have some free time in London when we come back. The day we arrive, Steve's group will still be there, so we will hobnob with them. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful trip, and we hope you can join us. It should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I've got to, I'm going to get in London walking shape.
You'll have a professional guide. You're not going to do like an improvised tour where you just make up everything.
I'm going to do the entire thing as Benny Hill, and I've actually hired a small man to come with me that I can tap on the top of the head like Benny Hill had. So I'm going to do that.
Is the music going to play in the background
as
you walk?
Of course it will. Yeah, Debbie will have a boombox.
Okay. But you got to walk fast like they do.
Well, that's why I got to get. That's why I got to get ready.
Okay.
Got to get some more shots in my knees, and I got to.
Ouch.
Okay, I had one of those the other day, so I could walk next weekend in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, horrifying. But yes, it's going to be a wonderful time. There's all sorts of things. We eat well. We live well. We see wonderful things. We hobnob with wonderful people. We go to England and we try not to eat bangers and mash for every meal.
Are you going to bring a selfie stick with you?
I am not. No, I'm not bringing a selfie stick. I have other people on the tour who I'm sure will take my picture as I will take their picture.
Oh.
So I don't have to look like a knob. Is that an English term? A knob?
That's rubbish, Brian.
It's rubbish. Oh, that's fol-de-rol and fiddle-dee-dee, Cody. I will not have a selfie stick with me. So, yes, I'll take people's pictures. They can take my picture. Maybe we'll take pictures together. Who knows? There'll be a lot of photography happening, I'm sure, as people try to catalog all of England's treasures. So Buckingham Palace, Victoria and Albert Museum, Tower of London, full-day London tour, afternoon tea on the Thames. Don't I sound fancy? I sound monocle fancy, don't I?
Do you know how many slots are left in the trip? A texter wants to know.
I don't know how many, but I know there are not many.
Mm.
Last I checked with Steve, there were not many at all.
Is that double digits not many? Or?
No. Well, I don't know.
Mm.
I don't want to give bad information. Mm. I know it's filling up rather quickly.
Better to book sooner than later.
That would be my advice. And to do that, you would email steve@stevebertrandtravel.com or call 847-606-6065. steve@stevebertrandtravel.com or call 847-606-6065. Listen, and if you have a water bottle on the tour, like one of my second graders, I won't judge. That's fine. You want to, be like a gerbil all day, drinking your water. Godspeed.
Well, you're going to be drinking out of one of those helmets with two beers in it and a hose anyway, right?
Well, that's what people do on tour, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how you show that you're a great American on vacation. You do something really horrific.
Well, but you want to kind of blend in, so you'll just load it with Guinness.
Well, no, mine will, yes, I will do that, and mine will also be one of the big fur hats, a beefeater hat.
Ah, yes.
So they'll go, oh, look at that guy, or a Sherlock Holmes hat.
Mm.
Is it Sherlock Holmes or McGruff the Crime Dog? Which one would I look more like?
Sherlock Holmes.
You think I'd look like Sherlock Holmes?
But you got to have the Meerschaum pipe.
Oh, of course.
I bet Roger has one.
But you know what? I won't smoke tobacco out of it. I'll just blow bubbles out of it.
That's fine.
just sitting on the bus with everybody else on the tour blowing bubbles out of this big pipe.
Or another option, one of the Bobby hats.
The
police officers are called Bobby. It's one of the Bobby hats with a little medallion on it.
That would be good.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were telling him you wanted him to put a shrimp on the Bobby.
No, that's Australia.
Wrong part of
different
the world.
Country. Yeah.
You're going somewhere else. Yeah. I thought he wanted to be, because it's my prerogative what kind of hat I wear. So like Bobby Brown.
Mm.
So that's.
Are you going to be able to visit Abbey Road at all, do you think?
I hope so. That's in London, and I have a full day of London where I can do whatever I want.
Now, if you just travel a little bit, a few blocks away, there's a nice small section near Abbey Road where you can go to the same phone box, the phone booth that I had a picture taken at. And
well, then that's sold. Stop right there. That's enough.
And our worldly fellow.
Oh, Fred Weintraub.
Lives there.
In that phone booth?
Not in
that's
it.
That's sad. I thought Fred was doing... You have just shattered my illusion of Fred.
Where do you think he calls from?
Yeah, I thought Fred was doing pretty well. Turns out he lives in a phone booth in Britain. That's... Wow. Maybe I pay Fred next time he's on the show, then. If he's that hard up.
You might want to upgrade with a little couch inside
he lives,
or something.
He lives right there in the phone booth. Wow. Then I'm guessing he doesn't want people just coming to the phone booth to make a call.
Well, no. No, that's why you have to use the phone booth to call to get an appointment with him. I'm joking.
Well,
he lives in the neighborhood.
Is that phone booth bigger on the inside, though?
Yes,
it's
doctor.
One of those mystery phone booths.
Yes, doctor.
You walk in, it's just a woo, you're in another dimension.
Ooh.
So anyway, listen, you want to come with me and visit Fred in his phone booth? That's fun. That's on our day off when we don't have other things to do. You can wander around with me, look for a man in a phone booth. It's like Pokemon Go, except with a real human being.
Wow.
So it'll be cool. Steve at stevebertrandtravel.com or call 847-606-6065. All right, let's take a quick break because I am thirsty, but I'm not thirsty for any run-of-the-mill sort of libation, no. I am thirsty for a single malt scotch whiskey from Aberlour. We will talk to Mark Williams, their brand ambassador. On the other side, it is WGN. For Mother's Day, you may think, you know what, maybe it'd be nice to sit with Mom and have a nice cocktail. Perhaps kick back a little scotch. Well, Aberlour whiskey is Mark Williams is here. He's the brand ambassador for Aberlour whiskey. And welcome. Happy Mother's Day.
Hello.
I don't assume that you are a mother, but you are the mother of all whiskeys based on the spread that you brought here today. Tell us, for the folks who don't know, tell us a little bit about Aberlour.
So Aberlour is a single malt scotch whiskey, as you mentioned, from the Highlands or Speyside region of Scotland.
Okay.
In a town called Aberlour. It's been there since 1879.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So we're named after the town. There was a great guy named James Fleming that started this business way back. He was a grain merchant. He was a banker. He was just a businessman about town. And instead of selling his grain to other distilleries, decided to start his own.
Oh, nice.
So right in the heart of the town, there's this nice little spring and a great water source. Picked up and started making whiskey.
Now, Scotch, everybody, you know, growing up, everybody's heard, oh, people want Scotch. They like Scotch. They have Scotch on the rocks. They like Scotch neat. There's single malts. There's blends. It has always seemed a little intimidating to me, Scotch. How can we make Scotch, or how do you guys make Scotch a little bit more approachable for people like me who don't really, I don't know anything about Scotch?
Well, education, for one.
There you go.
And that's why I'm here.
Perfect. Well,
let's get into it.
So you've got four different things there, and I teased earlier, we're going to talk about this bottle that's exclusive to Chicago.
Correct.
But let's start, what are we starting with?
This is our double cask matured 16-year.
Okay.
So to start, Scotch whiskey is a whiskey, just like bourbon is a whiskey,
rye
is a whiskey. A whiskey is a grain distilled spirit aged in oak.
Okay.
There are more specifics as you get into, you know, those others that I just mentioned. Scotch whiskey being a single malt would be a single malted barley.
Okay.
From one distillery.
All right.
So, whereas a blended could be a single malt, or it could be from both malted and unmalted barley from several different distilleries.
Ah, all right. And single malt is higher quality, is that correct?
No, I mean, not necessarily, but typically. I mean, that's why typically you see single malt is correct.
Okay.
That's why you see that. And it's because, you know, one person is putting the detail into this one product.
Yeah.
And then the aging. Whereas, I mean, there's Chivas Brothers is a part of our company as well.
Okay.
And Chivas 18 is one of my favorite whiskeys out there. It's a blended whiskey. So anytime somebody, you know, blended whiskeys are garbage, try something like that.
Right.
Go look, you know,
well,
seek out
it. Well, that's the thing. Your people are operating on old thoughts.
Correct.
And old stereotypes.
Correct.
So now, all right, and you said double casked.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing, and I'll just, so it starts in one barrel, and no?
That is typical with a lot of single malt whiskeys out there. We fully mature in both types of barrels that we use. We use both Oloroso sherry casks.
Ooh.
And used bourbon casks.
Okay.
So both of these barrels have been used previously to age a different spirit.
Okay, so that's where the double comes in.
Right, and they impart those flavors from each individual aging in as we go.
So what would people sense the difference between the ones that were aged in the sherry casks and or the sherry barrels and the ones in the bourbon barrels?
A lot of flavors differ. American oak, for one thing, has a different flavor than Spanish oak does.
Okay.
Bourbon casks are both American oak and they're charred inside, so you have this inherent smoky, charred flavor that imparts itself into the whiskey, whereas sherry is a dry, fortified wine, and it's in Spanish oak, so totally different flavor, not charred.
Okay.
So you don't have those flavors, but what you do get are baking spices, dried fruits. So, you know, think cooking with mom around Christmas time.
Oh, nice. Now, one of the things that you hear a lot about Scotch, and maybe, again, maybe I'm operating on an old thought, is, this Scotch tastes mossy. This has a nice mossy flavor from the old country.
Right. So peat is a big part of a lot of Scotch whiskey.
Right.
In most people's minds that are new to Scotch whiskey or new to whiskey in general, they assume that is Scotch whiskey, and that's not the fact. Less than 10% of Scotch whiskeys are heavily peated like that.
Oh, okay.
So some use a little bit, so that flavor is a part of the finished product, but it's not this, you know, enormous, full frontal, just huge, smoky, you know, earthen kind of flavor.
So
we don't use any when we malt.
No,
so you don't get any part of that in our whiskey.
Okay, so what is this first one?
So you have a 16-year.
Okay.
It's been aged both in bourbon casks and sherry casks for the whole of the maturation and then married together at a pretty equal level.
It's very smooth.
Yeah.
Very smooth.
Very easy to drink. Mm-hmm. There's a good level of both that kind of the prickly flavor from the char with the sweetness from the sherry cask.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Now, are you a neat guy, or do you like rocks every once in a while?
It depends on what I'm doing.
Okay. Because people will argue, well, if you put ice in there, it ruins the whiskey.
Okay, and here's my thing with that.
Yeah.
When you're going through, taste them as they are.
Right.
Understand what it is, but then it's your whiskey. Well, I mean,
yeah,
theoretically, you're paying for it. You do whatever you want with it. Yeah, enjoy it. So however it is you enjoy it, that's your prerogative. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not going to necessarily follow what you're doing.
Are you going to judge me?
No. No, of course not. You know, if that's your thing, if that's you enjoy it, it's something wild and off, you know, you want to mix it with lemonade or something.
Ugh.
I mean, that sounds terrible to me, but maybe that's somebody's favorite. I don't know.
If that's your thing, oh, good for you. Mark Williams is here. He is the brand ambassador for Abelauer Whiskey. We are going to talk more about whiskey. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. We'll do this, then news, and then we'll talk a little more whiskey on WGN. It's about time. It's not Mother's Day on this program unless we play Danzig. That's what, all day, that's what I've been waiting for.
Mother, tell your children not to work my
And now every self-respecting mom has fled. Not listening anymore, which I don't blame them. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. Mark Williams is with me. He is a brand ambassador for Abelauer Whiskey. Abelauer, a company that has, a distillery that has been around for generations, but has just come into the Chicago market within the last year or so. Is that correct, Mark?
Well, it's been around 30, 40 years. It just, it's been overlooked. It's just,
but that's why
marketing
you're
money has gone other places, and so it's not well known. It's a,
How did you come to work with whiskey? Because that seems like a good gig. I'm sure there's a lot of people.
Lucky.
Yeah, there's a lot of people now going, "That's you can do that? You can just walk around and talk about whiskey?"
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I have a good friend who's now my coworker, who encouraged me to. You know, she brought the job description to me and went, like, "You need to interview for this job and
nice,
go for it." Yeah.
And did you know a lot about Scotch before you took the job, or do they send you over to Scotland and give you like a total immersion class?
Sort of, and yes.
Okay.
So I knew a good amount about spirits in general.
Okay.
Whiskey, American whiskey specifically, because, you know, I'm 35, like everybody else has
gone
through this.
You've had a couple cocktails.
Yeah, and gone through this discovery of all of these American whiskeys and what else is out there, and then what else is on the horizon. And so I didn't know a ton about Scotch whiskey, but yes, after I started the job, myself, my coworker, my boss in New York all went to Scotland for a week and went through the distillery. We went through a couple competitors' distilleries.
Okay.
Some of our were owned by Pernod Ricard, so a couple other of Pernod's single malt distilleries, like Glenlivet, which is a masterpiece. It's that place
really
is beautiful.
Well, that's one. That's a brand. Whether you drink Scotch or not, everybody's heard of Glenlivet.
Right.
Yeah. It's one. And Chivas, like you said, is another one that they own.
Yeah.
And everybody's heard of those. What is it now? And you mentioned some of this before. It's what. Is it more of the grains that are used, or more of the barrels that really affect the taste? Or obviously
it's
a combination of both.
It's a combination
of
the water source.
Okay,
that's very important. The your actual equipment.
Okay,
so the shape of your stills.
Oh, really?
Makes a big difference.
Wow.
Just as far as through the distillation process, the different shapes of stills either clean out different particles through the distillation process or create a stronger or sweeter or drier or whatever the case may be, flavor dependent on, mm-hmm. on those stills. So we have a short fat still. It's called an onion pot still. And those make a really nice, light, sweet whiskey.
Okay.
So this is a really great representation of what a Speyside whiskey is.
And Speyside, again, is the region of Scotland.
It's a region inside the Highlands. So there's a river. The River Spey runs to the northeast, to the North Sea, and Speyside literally means on the side of
the
River Spey. Yeah.
Now, I mentioned when we tried the first one, the 16-year-old
yep.
whiskey, I said, "Oh, this is smooth." And when we were off there, you said, "Well, I try to challenge people not to use smooth as an adjective when they're trying different types of scotch." And why is that?
Just spirits, beer, wine, anything in general, because it's such a all-encompassing word.
Okay.
And it's not, like, if you say this tastes like cherries,
I can conjure
to somebody
that,
else that tastes like cherries as well. They
right.
can find that flavor in it. The smooth aspect is more of an intangible, and it's not everybody agrees on it.
Okay, yeah, that's true. I might think something is smooth or more harsh, and you might think
you and I
exactly
are drinking
that.
This whiskey neat. Some people
yes.
wouldn't dare
do that, right?
Now, speaking of this whiskey, I looked at it, and my first, I said, oh, is it my imagination? This one is much darker. Which one is this?
This is Aberlour 18-year.
Okay.
So this has been aged at least 18 years, both in the bourbon casks and sherry casks.
Okay.
Married together, but unlike the 16-year, the 16 has a pretty equal split of the agings between those two barrels. The 18 much more comes from sherry cask.
So, and I guess I got confused. This whiskey was in a sherry cask and then went to a bourbon. Is that correct or no?
No. In both separately. So when it comes off of the still, we fill up bourbon barrels. They go to the warehouse. We fill up sherry casks. They go to the warehouse.
So I don't know in this bottle which cask it was.
And you know, they make thousands of gallons at a time.
But they don't mix them, or do they mix them?
We do marry them,
So that's what it is. So
we marry those two agings together.
See. All right, that's where I got confused.
At different volumes. So if you think that we use those two base aged spirits as ingredients,
okay,
we use a different recipe between our 12-year, our 16-year, and our 18-year.
Okay.
The 18 having more that was aged in the sherry cask.
Okay, and so this one has more of the bourbon cask.
More of the sherry cask.
The sherry cask.
Yeah.
Okay, and is that what gives it the color?
That's where that rich, deep, like kind of reddish-brown color comes from.
And what would I be looking for in this? Because I'm not going to say it's smooth.
Tell me what you think. Tell me what you taste.
I do get a little sweetness.
Do you taste spice?
Yeah.
Like cinnamon spice, like nutmeg, like allspice?
Yeah, more. I get the cinnamon and I get the spice.
It's kind of a prickly flavor
what
on
is
your
that,
tongue.
What does that come
That's
from?
That's from the sherry cask as well.
Okay.
So not only that sweetness.
It's coming more as I, you know, now that I've swallowed it and it's...
As your mouth dries out a little bit, you taste that even more.
Yeah.
And that's... It's kind of a neat thing that they both come from that sherry cask.
Okay.
So the both of those flavors playing together, you know.
Yeah. And, I'm trying to think, because I guess maybe my palate is not as fine-tuned, because I always have this trouble where I know there's something there that I'm supposed to be tasting, and I'm just enjoying it, so I'm not really, I can't really... pull everything apart.
Well, that's okay. I mean, that's some of the fun of the whiskey. You can sit and drink and analyze it, or you can sip it and just fade out into nowhere and consider whatever it is about life that you need to, you know,
now
think about, work on, whatever.
We're gonna get into the final two, but I don't want to miss out on the. We'll talk about the final one first, the exclusive one, and we can get to try that, because this is a pretty big deal. There's only
like 160
bottles of it, and it's exclusive to the Chicago market.
So think about this: when we make our 16-year, our 18-year, they're batching thousands of gallons of this. There's thousands of barrels that are coming out of the warehouses, being married together, and then sent all over the world.
Okay.
One single barrel of American oak cask that was 16 years and 9 months old was put into bottles and sent to Chicago.
Wow.
So very, very limited amount of it.
Yeah.
And it's just that barrel was specifically really fantastic.
And why did Chicago get the honor of getting this special whiskey?
Because Chicago drinks a lot of whiskey.
We do?
Chicago appreciates whiskey. Chicago isn't afraid to go try something new and something different that they are not familiar with.
Okay. And where would Chicago, because I'm assuming you do research all over.
Yep.
Where does Chicago fall as far as whiskey drinking cities in the U.S.?
In the U.S., there are a couple that are near us.
Okay.
Like New York, obviously.
Sure.
But per capita, it's
makes
a very
sense.
Big place. But Chicago, I think, is number two or three. But the most open to
trying new things. What do you think that is about us? Have you done that kind of research?
Chicago's a drinking town. I mean, you look around, there are. It doesn't matter where you are in town or where you are around in the neighborhoods.
Right.
Two blocks, there's a bar.
Yeah, and it goes from just a corner pub to something a little more upscale.
Certainly.
And there's cocktail bars and there's whiskey bars.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying something new all the time.
Right.
So it makes sense.
And the fun of a whiskey like this is you'll find people that care enough to carry it, taste it, drink it, serve it. These hotel bars right around us at downtown, to some of the steakhouses, the cocktail bars.
Yeah.
But then you go out into the neighborhoods. We've got some great whiskey bars out in the neighborhoods, or just little Irish pubs that have, you'll see two or three different marks of Aberlour on the bar.
And that's from people trying it, liking it, and then telling their place, absolutely, hey, I got to have this, and there you go. So now I'm looking at this, the Abelauer 16-year-old American Oak single cask. It's very light in color. It's almost... It's very, very clear.
Light. It's like a straw color.
Yeah. Whereas the other ones we've had, the 16 was dark, the 18 was darker, and then the
Abuna is very dark.
It's really dark.
So the Abuna comes all from a sherry cask. This came from a single bourbon cask. But this cask has been used twice before it. So it had bourbon in it, was emptied. Had Scotch whiskey in it, was emptied.
Okay.
This is the second time around that we aged Scotch whiskey in it.
And is that...
So
the
more you use a barrel, the more has already been extracted out of it. So every time you use it, not necessarily the flavors, but the colors and the aromas will lessen.
And so what does that mean? Because I hear that and I go, okay... you know, if not the flavors, but if everything else is coming out, what does that do to it?
I'll have you taste it.
Yes, well, that would be good. You know what? While you pour it, let me take a quick break. Mark Williams is here. He's with Abelauer Whiskey. It is wonderful stuff. You can now, and we're talking about this. I'll tell you where I can get this 16-year-old American Oak single cask, but it's very tough to find because there are only 167 bottles in the city and the surrounding area. We'll talk more about that. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. Let's do this. Then there's more. It's WGN. All right. We've been talking. This is exciting because Abelauer has released a 16-year-old American Oak single cask, number 18537. There are 167 bottles in the Chicago area. It's like a wonderful whiskey treasure hunt to find these. It is available at some retailers. You need to call your favorite whiskey retailer and say to them, do you have this bottle? And maybe they'll say yes, maybe they'll say no, maybe you can ask them if they know where to find it. But it's also in restaurants and bars around town, right?
I mean, just in this neighborhood alone, we have it at Drum Bar.
Okay.
RPM Steak has it, Primer Provisions has it. Just a little south of us, we've got Volume 39 at the Kimpton Gray Hotel. So it's
this is not one of these marketing scams. This is they only could do one barrel of this because it's that particular barrel. There's
right.
It's not like, hey, we're going to make this as a
So the master blender was going through the trying to pick barrels for whatever he was making next.
Yeah.
Found this one barrel and was this barrel goes on its own.
Wow.
This we'll find a home for and we'll sell it just as it is.
And do you, what are they looking for? What was it about this barrel? You said it had been used twice before.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it was about this barrel that caught his eye or his nose or his...
Just something that's very unique to itself. It shows a lot of smoke. But again, we don't use any peat when we malt.
The smoke comes from the old bourbon.
From the bourbon cask, from the barrel itself, right. It has a really neat kind of tropical fruit sweetness to it.
Yeah.
It tastes like mango and pineapple. It's just, this is a very unique whiskey on its own.
And, you know, I hear the mango and the whiskey, and you taste that, and you taste the spice, and it's a little sweet, but a little prickly around the tongue, as you said.
Yeah.
Where do mango flavors come from? Because we talked about smoke from the bourbon and the cherry.
It's from that American oak.
It's something in the oak that pulls it out.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And, all right, so when...
Typically, you're used to talking about flavors like that with wine.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And, okay, this is... A sommelier will taste a wine, and this is from one specific vineyard, and the ground in this vineyard must be next to a cow pasture because the same stories hold true in whiskey. They're just not as easily seen.
Okay.
Because this is so much higher in alcohol, it's harder to discern those flavors. When you water it down some, because wine's typically, between like 8 and 15 on the top end percent.
Right.
This is 47.3% alcohol, so it's much stronger. If you water it down, there's actually more smell and taste profiles in a glass of whiskey than there are in a wine.
Oh, wow. All right, I didn't
know. So I'm told.
Well, listen, you're the expert. And again, when you're tasting Abelauer or any good spirit for the first time, taste it straight, and then however you want to drink it later, that's up to you.
Right.
You should try it. You should try it the way God intended it to be, right out of the bottle.
And something like Abelauer, just know that you're probably going to like it, and you're probably going to taste a bit of it, so do it responsibly.
Yes.
Think about where you are and how you're drinking it so that you get yourself home safely.
And sit and sip and enjoy. You can always go to abelhour.com to find out all the information. Again, if you are looking for the 16-year-old American Oak single cask, it is available. It's around, but it's going to be fun for you to find. And when you do find it, you'll think you have a little treasure at home. So share it only with your best friends.
Know that there's a considerable price difference between the 16-year
I can only imagine
and the 16-year single cask, but there's not a lot of label difference.
Okay.
So you need to specifically look at what you're getting
right.
And know that it's the single cask.
Right. And again, the single cask, if you look at them, the labels look almost identical. The color is completely different. The signature isn't a little different, and what is that called up top?
So a wax top
single cask,
whereas it's
top.
A foil.
Okay.
On the regular one.
We didn't get to the third. What was the
Abuna.
Abuna. And what is Abuna?
Abuna roughly translates to the original. So this one has a great story.
Okay.
Abuna comes around, Pernod Ricard bought Aberlour in the 1970s. And around 1975, they were expanding the distillery, putting a new still in the still house. They had to tear down an original wall from 1897 to do that.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, 1879.
Okay.
When they were taking this wall apart, they found a bottle that was bricked into the wall. It was wrapped in a newspaper from about 11 years after, and no other information at all. So the guys cracked into it, drank it, loved it, sent what little was left to Pernod Ricard's labs to analyze it and figure out how to replicate it. So this is the replication of that original batch.
Oh, wow.
So it's all sherry cask aged. It's non-chill filtered. It's a non-age statement whiskey, which means that we don't tell you how old it is because ultimately it doesn't really matter.
Right.
In general, it's aged appropriately. It's 15 to 20 years old on average.
Wow.
And it is cask strength. So every batch has a different alcohol volume, and it's always right around 60%.
Okay.
This is batch 60, and we're at 60.3% alcohol. So it's a mouthful.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you. It was very nice meeting you, and we learned
a lot.
Thank
you very much.
We learned a lot. Abelhour.com to get all the information. All right, let's do this, and we'll find out what Karen's got on her show. It's WGN. All right, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the program. Thanks again to Mark Williams from Abelhour Whiskey. Karen is, I thought she was going to come and tell me what's on the show. She's flitting about. She's got things to do. I don't know what she's up to. Hi, Karen.
I'm here. I'm flitting.
You're flitting. Yeah, stop flitting about. Sit down. Tell me what's happening. What's going on?
It's just a real easygoing show. You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about momisms.
Okay.
Do you remember your mom like has all these things she used to say, and some of them turn out to be good advice, and some of them not so much? And I want to hear from everybody about what those momisms are.
Mine just said, shut up.
And then I have Larry Baker, who is the stage manager at Drury Lane Theater, and we're talking about theater. And I just saw the screening for Book Club with Jane Fonda and Candace Bergen and Diane Keaton, and it was just fabulous, so we're going to be talking about that, too.
Oh, that's where they all read 50 Shades of Grey, and
yes.
They get all worked up.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds very
salacious.
Randy. Yes,
yeah.
Salacious. Well, have a wonderful show.
Thank you.
It's good to see you. We will not be here next week because I will be in New Orleans, but I will talk to you soon. And we'll be back the week after that for a full show, like 4 hours. It'll be crazy. So I will talk to you soon. Have a wonderful week. Happy Mother's Day if you are a mom or a woman who has taken that spot, or a dad who is acting in that role as well. Enjoy your day. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Arkadek. It is 7 o'clock with the news. There he is, a mother in his own right, Roger Badish.